Amen. Thank you, guys. Good morning, everybody. So this would normally be the time where we sent the wiggle worms out, but as we have already stated last week and again this morning, we are welcoming them to stay here with us this morning. So that means that if you are easily annoyed by the sounds of children, you can go ahead and see yourself out, okay? Because we are grateful to have our children here with us this morning. We are always grateful for the youth and vibrancy that children bring into our lives. And the sounds of children is something I would rather have than be without. Amen? Anybody with me on that one? And so, yeah. I would like to say to the little ones that are in here that aren't normally in here, we love you. You are a big part of our church. You are the future of not only our church, but of all of our religion, of all people who claim and profess to believe in Jesus Christ. You are the future of that, and because of that, we are thankful that you are here this morning, and we want you to know that we are including you in this service so that you will know just how important you are, that you are not someone who is in the way, but you are someone who is valuable and important both to God and to us. And so we welcome you here this morning. Parents, a reminder, this is a one-time thing, so I promise that you will have be able to get back into your rhythm next week. Speaking of the little ones in our midst, almost universal among children is the desire to make our parents proud, to make our parents happy with something that we've done. I remember the desire as a child, especially with my father, I think this is a boy thing, to have your father or your grandfather look at you and say those words, "I'm proud of you." I had a good father who did those things. I'm sure you can remember that, those of you who are either children right now or have been at some point in your life. You can remember taking the report card home, and if you were really proud of it, you know, wanting to show your parents that. If you weren't proud of it, wanting to do your best to make them sign it without really looking at it in detail. And the sense of joy that came with your parents being proud of you, the sense of sadness that came when they were disappointed in you. I was that child that, although I hated spankings and being grounded later on, the thing I hated more than all of that was knowing that I disappointed my parents. And because of that, I looked for every opportunity I could to please them, to make them proud, so to speak. Whether it was in football or in academics, whether it was in church, whatever it might be, I wanted to hear that sense of approval. There's an innate desire, I believe, in all of us, to have that approval from our parents. I could certainly see it in my own son. I could see it in his desire, the smile that comes across his face when we tell him good job about something, when we applaud something that he did well. We see the way it works out in the world as well. If you look at professional athletes, it's just one example. Many of them were right at the height of a couple seasons, NBA, the hockey season. We're getting started with baseball season. And if you talk to a lot of those men that are playing those sports, a lot of them are motivated by a sense of wanting to make mom or dad proud. Those of you who can remember Kevin Durant from the Oklahoma City Thunder, remember his MVP speech from a while back when he was talking about his mom, and he closed it out saying, "Mom, you the real MVP," right? He, because of what his mom had done for him, he desired to make her proud, and you can tell that was a motivation for a lot of what he did. And so this morning, as we continue along with our series on family, we're going to turn to the child's relationship with the parent. We're going to think about how we honor our mothers and fathers. And we're going to remember who loved us first. Remember who loved you first. Think about that for a moment. Now, God obviously loved us before anybody else. But other than that, if you grew up in a good, solid home, who loved you first? Who was the first person to care for you, to nurture you? It was your mother and father. And I'm sure that there are some of you in the building this morning that did not grow up in a nurturing home, and we will talk about how this commandment that we're about to read still applies to you as well. But this idea of honoring our mothers and fathers, those are our parents, the ones who loved us first, the way we relate to them informs the way that we relate to the whole world. Honoring them is one of God's big Ten Commandments, and that's what we're going to look at this morning, Exodus chapter 20. Verse 12, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. The first commandment given to man that was horizontal, that was speaking to the relationship between us and other people. Exodus 20, verse 12, it says this: "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother. Again, the Ten Commandments break up into basically two separate groups, or you can break them up into two separate groups. The first four of the commandments in Exodus 20 have to do with our relationship with God, the vertical relationship, to not take the Lord's name in vain, to not have any other gods before him, no idols, to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy, that these are the vertical relationship between us and God. And then in the fifth commandment, and the one that we're reading here this morning, in this fifth commandment, the first one that is through the rest of the commandments of speaking about our horizontal relationships, our relationships with other people, God begins to speak to the home, and he starts with the child honoring the parent. Now, to honor means, or it can mean, that we give weight to something. That Hebrew word can mean that. And so when we honor someone, we give weight to them. We appreciate them. Think about it. When you write a thank you card for someone, something someone has done for you, when you go out of your way to express gratitude for someone who did something awesome for you in a moment of need, that is giving weight to what they have done. That is honoring what they have done. Speaking about sports a moment ago, when someone's bust is put in any of the Hall of Fames or someone is honored by having their number retired and hanging from the rafters of their respective stadiums, that is a way to give weight to what they have done, to honor what they have done. And so when God commands us to honor our mothers and our fathers, he is commanding us to give weight to who they are, to give weight to the impact they have had on our lives. And how do we do that? How do we honor mothers and fathers? We give weight to our mothers and fathers and the impact that they've had on our lives with the way that we speak, the way that we speak to them, the kind of words that we use with them. I remember what it was like to be a teenager and for every word to have a sense of just smart aleckness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That kind of biting edge that we sometimes had with our parents when we were frustrated. The one who honors his or her parents takes that biting edge off and instead gives weight to the parents with giving them respect, giving them deference, the idea that they have more authority than us, that we are beholden to them, not in a sense of like they're going to rule over us in some harsh way, but in the sense of that they are our superiors in a way. We're taught to respect authority in the world. We're taught to respect bosses. Well, that starts at home. That starts with our relationships with our parents. And so we give weight to them with the way that we speak to them and about them. We give weight or we honor our mothers and fathers with the way that we live, with the way that we carry ourselves, with the way that we handle ourselves in the world. No matter what situation in life that we are in, we give weight, we give honor to our mothers and fathers by thinking about the way that we live and how that represents them. And we give weight to them by the way that we love them, by the way that we care for them, by the way that we, again, not just speak about them generally, but speak kind words, compassionate words to them, to honor our mothers and our fathers. Many of you probably know that in the list of commandments, this one, Exodus 20:12, this fifth commandment, is the first one with a promise. At the end of this commandment, it says, do this so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you. Now, some see that promise, and you think of this commandment that, well, if I just obey my mom and my dad, and I honor my mom and my dad, that God will give me a chronologically, like I'll have a bunch of years in my life, I'll live a long time, I'll have a good, long, full life. I don't really think that's the formula here. Because I know that there's a lot of people who were really jerks to their parents that are in their 80s and 90s, right? And I know that there are people who were wonderful to their parents that die at much younger ages. So I don't think this is one of those times when we could take this before God and says, hey, see, God, I was nice to my mom and dad, so I should get a long, healthy life. No, I don't think that's the point. Instead, I think this is almost kind of a self-fulfilling thing that's being pointed out by the commandment. Now, think about it for just a moment. Moses was leading the people, if they would listen to God, was leading the people out of Egypt and into the promised land. It is during this Exodus that Moses receives the Ten Commandments from God. And when God gives him this commandment, to honor your mother and father, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you, he's speaking about a specific land. He's speaking about the promised land to which the Israelites, to which the Hebrews are traveling. And when they get there, they have the opportunity to have a a great life, a fulfilled life, to live in the life that God has promised to give them long before they left Egyptian slavery. But if they dishonor their parents, what do you think their children are going to do to them when they become elderly parents? You see, it's almost kind of a circular thing, that if you honor your parents, speaking to the young in the midst of the Israelites' camp, if you honor your parents, perhaps you will instill it in the next generation to honor theirs as well. And so let me say something rather direct this morning to those who think that our culture is slowly degrading from one generation to the next, where we're losing the respect for authority and the respect for our elders. I believe I can say, and this isn't like from Generation X or whatever it is that I'm in, to the older generations, you know, how dare you come down on us. But I think this shows us how much we all share in this whole thing, is that history repeats itself over and over and over again. And if you are disrespectful toward your elderly parents, you should assume that your children will be disrespectful to you when you become elderly. You must assume that your children will not do the whole monkeys, or will not do as you say, but not as you do, but will rather do the whole monkey see, monkey do thing. That they will see what you do and then repeat that behavior. There's a story told about an old man who was alone. His wife had passed away, and he was living with his son and his son's wife. And one day they were around the supper table along with his son and his son's wife and his son's child, and they were eating. They were eating supper together. And the old man was getting old, and his hands were getting weak, and they were starting to shake when he ate, and he was clinking on the dishes, and stuff was just kind of making a racket, and they couldn't have any peaceful moments. Even while they were praying, it seemed like he was shaking the table and shaking the silverware, shaking the iced tea in the glass. Dishes were clinking against the bowls, and they finally just got to the point where he would start spilling stuff on himself. They said, "We just can't do with you anymore. Can you go over here in the corner by yourself?" And so they took a little setting for him, and they set him over in the corner, and it just got worse from that point. His reflexes got even slower. His shaking got even worse. And eventually they said, "Okay, you know, the table's not even going to work because you're just spilling everything. Things are dropping off the table and breaking on the floor." And so they got him a wooden bowl and a wooden spoon and a wooden fork and set it on the ground for him to eat at. And there it was. It was quiet. They thought everything was better until a couple of days later, they saw their son playing with some few pieces of wood. And they asked him, as he looked like he was carving at some small pieces of wood, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm making you and mother a bowl so that you can eat out of it when you get old." That's an old, old fable that is used to illustrate a good lesson. That what you see your parents do, and parents, what you perform in front of your children, is often the way that they too will act. And so if this generation does not have a respect for authority, which is very much the case in many ways, my contention to you is that it didn't start with this generation, but we are mirroring things we have seen in other parts of the culture. Again, this is not a promise for a long, healthy life, but rather a reminder that what happens in this generation will be mirrored in the next. And so as we think about this command to love our mothers and our fathers, we think about that idea of the establishment of authority. If we want respect to be given to authority figures in our culture, if we want people to look up to others, to have role models that they see, then we must mirror that for the next generation. We must treat our authority members with respect. Not blind respect, not unquestioning respect, but deference. We must see people who are over us, whether they are people we like or don't like, whether people we are voted for or didn't vote for. We must see the people over us with a certain degree of respect so that the next generation isn't even worse when it comes to authority. If the only thing the kids in your home hear you say about authority is how foolish they are, how ridiculous they are, how terrible the decisions they are making are, then what are they going to expect of authority other than to question it? Especially when you lay down the law. Honoring your parents passes on to the next generation. And so honoring your mother and father. Those of you who are children, teenagers, still at home, this begins with a simple word that none of us like, and that is the word of obedience. That is the word of doing as your parents say. I know that sounds very simple, right? And that your parents tell you this all the time. Just do what I ask you to, right? And you want to say why, and they want to say just because I said so. Just because I said so was in the list of things I never thought I would say that I've said 1,000 times in the last 3 years, right? Amen, parents out there. Just because I said to. Your parents desire that obedience because they know what's best for you. In the same way that God knows what is best for us, your parents, in most cases, there are certainly exceptions, your parents, in most cases, know what is best for you. And so if you have a mom or dad that you know is good to you, that you know has cared for you, sometimes you're going to disagree with an opinion they might have, but I encourage you that as long as you are living under their roof, agree to disagree and accept their authority and obediently and lovingly respond. That's one way we honor our parents. And also, beyond obedience, you can be an encouragement to your parents too. We often look at parents as the main encouragers, but you can be an encourager too. Though I'm talking mainly to teenagers and younger. You have no idea, if you haven't ever had children, teenagers in the room, you have no idea how much your parents love to hear, thank you. How much your parents love to hear, I love you, daddy, or I love you, mom. Those simple little words mean something to me that I never thought they would mean just a few years ago. Or to say, you know, what Corbin tells me, I have strong muscles. Like, oh man, that makes me feel good, right? Just because I could pick up something that was 20 pounds. It makes me feel great. Parents need encouragement too, children. You need to be told that your parents are proud of you. Your parents need to be told from time to time, thank you, mom, for all the things that you do that I never thank you for. Thank you, dad, for working your tail off 60 hours a week so that we can have the things that we have. Thank you, despite the fact that you're busy with your job and you're gone a lot. Thank you for everything that you do. Give that to your mom and dad. That is a way to honor your father and your mother. Now, the difficult part. Those of you with the deadbeat parents. Sometimes our connections with our family, with our parents, are either non-existent or they're so bad that we wish they were non-existent. Now, I want to encourage you that this command can be for you as well, to honor your mother and father, no matter how terrible your mother and father might have been. And it starts with living for the right things. Look, your parents, whether or not they gave you great lessons, whether or not they gave you lots of gifts, your parents gave you something. They gave you name and they gave you DNA, okay? And if you can honor your parents, regardless of who they were, when you use the DNA and the name you have been given to make this world look more like the kingdom of God. If you use the DNA, the blood that is coursing through your veins, regardless of what that blood did in the previous generation, regardless of whether or not you've ever met that person, regardless of whether or not you ever want to see that person again, if you take the family name and the family lineage that you have been given and use it for the glory of God, you honor your mother and father. They might not know it, they certainly won't be thankful for it, but you honor your mother and father when you do that. A lot of times we can come to this passage, or we can come to any passage about being good children to our parents, and we can think, well, ours were terrible. I have a terrible family name. My family name is known in this community as something terrible, or the generations past have gotten in so much trouble that I don't want to introduce myself by that last name, or I never identified with that last name because I've been adopted into another family. Whatever it might be, whatever situation you are coming from, if you use what they gave to you, you can be the generation that redeems the family name. You can be the generation that brings honor to an honorless family name by injecting the passion, by injecting following Jesus Christ into that family name. You can turn around a terrible story. Cheryl and I have seen this happen during our ministry where people come out of families that are very difficult and they come to faith and it changes the whole family. You have that potential to be that generation, and some of you are that. So we can honor our mothers and fathers regardless of who they have been for us and to us. We honor those that if we had deadbeat parents served in their stead, the person that we call mother and father, whether they are biological or not, and even if it's just key adult leaders in our life, giving thanks to them for all that they've done for us. Now, we've talked about people in the home. What about those of you with elderly parents? We continue to live out what our parents have instilled in us. We return the care that was given to us back to them. And again, we remember who loved us first. A lot of times when we're talking about parents that are in nursing homes or we're talking about parents that are living on their own many miles away, just simply being there is good. And again, this isn't anything new. I'm just encouraging you to remember what you already know, that your presence is important in the life of your parents, no matter how old they are, no matter how detached from reality you think they might be. Simply being there is a way to honor them. And remember, your children are watching. Think about that, especially those of you who have older parents that are beginning to get feeble and maybe lacking the mind strength that they once did. Remember that your children are watching the way that you treat them, and they might treat you that way someday too. And those of you whose parents are gone, you still have their name. And one way you can honor that name is to tell the stories. And so this morning, as we start coming to a close, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. And it's having to do with those stories. One thing I tell just about every family at a funeral is to remember well, to remember the stories, to remember the really good stories that we had with people that we love, and share those stories with each other. But here's the problem with that. That shouldn't wait until there's a funeral. That shouldn't be until someone dies that we start thinking about the good stories that we can share. And so I encourage you, moms and dads in the room with children at home, today in particular, or at least sometime this week, go home and talk with your kids about your parents, about your grandparents, your aunts and your uncles, the people that led you in your life, the people that you call and look to as mom and dad. Share stories with them. Share at least one story with your children sometime this week about the previous generation, about your parents, something that you've never shared with your kids before, so that you can remind them how much of an impact your parents had on your life. And they can see that kind of that relationship that they didn't even know was there. I know sometimes, especially with little kids, to think about that their grandparents are actually your parents can blow their mind, right? It is an awesome thing to share those stories with the next generation. And so I encourage you to do that this week and then make that a habit. Make that something you do often, that you talk about your mom and your dad. Again, it might have been a bad situation, but find those people, find those moments that you can share those stories and remember who loved you first. Make it, again, a habitual part of your life, a habitual part of your honoring of God and your honoring of your mother and father. So again, this morning, we're happy to have our little ones with us. We're happy to be a church that has families within it. We're happy to be a church that has good moms and dads in it. And those of you who are sitting beside your mom and dad today, tell them that you love them. Tell them that you care for them. Tell them that you appreciate them. If any of you that were at prom or anything last night made it through the days this morning to make it here this morning, your mom and your dad probably did a lot of work and spent a lot of money to make last night awesome for you. So thank them for that. Thank them for all the time that they spent going to your games or supporting your activities or being there at school when a big event has happened. Let them know that means something. And those of you who are sitting here this morning with parents that aren't here, either because they live somewhere else, they're by themselves in a nursing home, or maybe they have gone on to the other side, I encourage you to honor their memories, to honor who they are, who they were in your life by sharing that with the next generation, sharing that with your children. If you don't have children, share it with your closest friends, share it with your church members. Honor your mother and father. That the day, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you. We can start a new system. We can start a new generational idea where it doesn't get worse and worse and less respectable and less respectable. But in the church, we are a people that each generation respects the previous generation more and more and more along the way. If we honor our mothers and fathers, we live out what we want to see in our society when it comes to respecting authority and loving others. You can honor your moms and dads. Remember who loved you first and give some of that love back this week. During our time of invitation, as the band is coming, I'm going to pray, and I encourage you just to take this time to think about your mothers and fathers, to think about ways that you can honor them. If you want to pray about this or anything else, I'll be down here this morning to do that with you, and the altar will be open. You can also come find me after the service. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and you move in whatever way God is calling. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for the youth in this room. God, we thank you for the energy. God, we thank you for the gift of children. We thank you for the gift of families. And God, we thank you for the wonderful gift of parents. God, I thank you for my own, the impact that they have had and are still having on my life. God, I thank you for the way that you communicated your love to me through them. God, I pray that I might do the same for my own children. And God, I pray that I might give some of that honor back to them. Remind myself, God, remind me of the way that they loved me so that I might return that same love. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.
I've heard a thousand stories.